Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk podcast. This podcast is part of our CEO interview series, where our mission is to help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. I'm Dave Jackson. Media Central Corp is off to a fast start in 2020, capturing significant market share. The independent and alternative media company has been busy launching and acquiring media channels, recently completing the purchase of Vancouver Free Press Corp., its renowned publication, The Georgia Strait. Combined with its other holdings, Media Central is already the largest publisher of alternative weekly papers in Canada, reaching 6.5 million readers. The company trades on the CSE under the symbol FLYY. We're excited to be joined by company CEO Brian Kalish. Brian is an experienced executive and entrepreneur with extensive experience in media, professional sports, healthcare, and specialty finance sectors, bringing a unique set of capabilities and relationships to his role as Chief Executive Officer. Most recently, he served as founding director and president of various specialty finance companies. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today, Brian.
Thanks, Dave. It's definitely a pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Pleasure is all ours. Now, to start off with, can you update our investor audience and your Media Central shareholders on any new company developments, especially in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, there's nothing specifically new outside of what we've been relating to the public through our press releases. You know, we try and ensure that we're communicating on a weekly basis around a variety of initiatives. The one that we most recently announced yesterday was a venture with Tia Health, where we're going to try and connect our readers, our 6.5 million readers, with telehealth services, which in today's day and age are certainly in demand. I mean, most Canadians don't have family doctors in any event. I think the last set of numbers was about 15% don't see a family doctor on a regular basis, and in the age of COVID, it's increasingly difficult to get any kind of healthcare support. So this venture with Tia Health is intended to do exactly that. It's also a first step in a new way of reaching advertisers and connecting with them through an omni-channel approach that is more in line with affiliate programs. You know, it's less traditional newspaper publishing, mm-hmm. and more along the lines of how advertisers are looking to connect with consumers. And given the fact that we have our three digital platforms, soon to be four digital platforms, each with a social media presence, we have a print component, we're able to provide advertisers with access to our customers in a way that they had never expected before. So that opens up our ability to enter other markets with the same kind of model, and allows us just an extra line item on how we're going out and building our business.
Now, a recent Stockhouse report details your recent acquisitions and your unique media business model. Now, how has Media Central positioned itself to so quickly be the number one player in the alternative media market in Canada?
Acquisition.
Yeah,
that's all there is. It's not, there's no more magic than that. You know, we found opportunities in this space. We were fortunate to use Now, which is nearly a 40-year-old brand, as a jumping off point. Once we started to do that, we were approached to take a look at The Strait, and given that these two publications are the leaders, the pioneers in the space, not just in Canada but North America as well, and the fact that they represent the lion's share of English-speaking Canada, you know, the 6.5 million combined readers was something we fundamentally purchased, and that's part and parcel of our strategy going forward. So, you know, while we talk about acquiring businesses, what we're really doing is acquiring eyeballs through these businesses. You know, there's about 100 of these alternative titles across the United States. They, you know, each on average see about, you know, 1 million readers a month. You know, that in and of itself equals about 100 million people, all of a very specific psychographic, all of, you know, reasonably similar demographics. And this is a market that, you know, has gone unnoticed for the large part. And, you know, the business element is the acquisition of the enterprises themselves, which, you know, anybody that's gone through the motions of realizes has its own unique sets of challenges. But at the end of the day, the idea is to consolidate these 100 million people, you know, bring their eyeballs into the digital world, which, frankly, COVID has created an opening for us to do quicker than we expected, and monetize those readers in ways that is in keeping with trends moving forward, rather than ideas that have you know, affected the publishing business for the 50 years leading up to this.
Now, Brian, a lot of media companies, large, medium, and small, still remain privately owned. What made you decide to list Media Central publicly on the CSE?
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in creating, you know, liquidity and using markets to basically raise the necessary cash. You know, it's difficult to convince investors on a good day to back a startup in the media space, in the publishing space, in a world that's, you know, wrought with old print publications. It's even, you know, it's at times excruciating. Mm-hmm. So the capital markets, as they do for, you know, everybody else that's listed, you know, provides the ability to raise money, you know, for, or from a specific type of investor who is balancing both, you know, patience and opportunity.
And on to the big news. Recently adding the iconic Georges Strait to Media Central's stable of alternative urban media publications. Can you walk us through the transaction and, you know, what it means for the company moving forward?
Sure. And it's funny you say on to the big news. You know, this was something that we did closed on February the 29th. And 2 weeks later, we found ourselves in an emergency lockdown globally. Yes. And you know, we've had to move so quickly in the last, you know, 6 weeks in terms of adjusting our business model and the plan, which was something we always had envisaged to do, but, you know, gradually over the course of, you know, 3-4 months, we had always planned on moving into in the black scenario by the end of Q2, you know, 2020. But we've been forced. The change has been forced upon us, like so many others, to effectively, you know, take the bull by the horns and make some changes. So, you know, the last 7 weeks, you know, feels like it's been 7 months, and I'm sure other people feel the same way, given how strange the times we're living in. But the acquisition in and of itself was as much of a game changer for the business as was the Now acquisition. You know, it gave us access to the West Coast. It gave us access to an iconic title that really was involved in pioneering the idea of, you know, alternative free newspapers and magazines for the last 53 years or so, and allowed us to really consolidate the baseline value that exists in the Canadian market for this type of reader. So it was a game changer. Every acquisition we've done, you know, leading up to this point has been a business changer. Keeping in mind that we only went public in October of 2019, we launched our first digital platform, Can Central, which is a cannabis-oriented lifestyle publication, in September, followed up our RTO with the acquisition of Now in November, and then went right into buying The Straight in February. So there's been a lot of changes. We've had to accommodate and move relatively quickly in terms of taking advantage of the opportunities as they presented themselves. But the deals that we have on the table right now, the ones that we're running through some diligence on, we haven't announced them, but because we haven't come to terms that are even remotely market relevant. But we've made it no secret that we are out there looking for opportunities. We're working with partners to evaluate the opportunities, and each one of these opportunities is something that we can slot into our existing framework, but at the same time will create a change. It'll create a change in terms of the way we sell, in terms of the way we publish, in terms of the way we go to market, and shareholders can be rest assured that as we move forward in growing the business, it's with a very specific eye on innovation.
Brian, you've said that online newspapers could be consolidated and synergized with digital media, offering one of the most attractive media consumer groups in a $300 billion digital publishing market. How so?
Well, sorry, I'm not understanding. Is that a direct quote that you took from me?
It was from one of our Stockhouse articles that we just recently published.
Right. Well, digital publications, digital newspapers, and online publications—they're more or less the synonymous. So that's why I was trying to understand the connection. Mm-hmm. The world has emerged digitally. It's continuing to move digitally. There's no secret that print newspapers are suffering. In terms of the way reading habits present themselves, digital advertising, digital media consumption is also moved very quickly into the realm of social media, where platforms like Twitter and Instagram, originally envisaged to be promotional tools, are emerging as editorial mediums in and of themselves. So if we're able to leverage the digital component that exists out there that consumers are engaging with regularly around the market that we're trying to consolidate, and appeal to this psychographic that in our opinion are the ones that have been leading the trends and establishing the pace around so many of the social and political events of the last couple of years, not least of which has been cannabis, mm-hmm. and now emerging into psychedelics. Esports and e-gaming are on the same idea. Then I think we'll be primed to really take advantage of this massive $300 billion market, carve ourselves out a nice little niche, and use that as a jumping off point for people that frankly are going to be bigger, better, and more capable of taking what we've created and bringing it into a larger audience.
Great stuff. Now, can you discuss the future long-term strategy for the company, and how do you see the urban alternative media sector evolving?
Digitally. that's where it's all at. This is what we've been ultimately we've been focusing on for so long,
right?
Or as long as we had this idea, and that is moving this into a digital sphere, taking these newspapers that have traditionally been print oriented first, even their business models, they have digital versions of their newspapers, but they're not really digital publishers in and of themselves, right? And so going out there, consolidating those papers, consolidating the reader, and digitizing them, and monetizing them, and doing this as quickly as possible, while at the same time leaving some value on the table for the next media company that will come along and certainly benefit more from the base that we're building over the next 3 to 5 years than I think we could. You know, you gotta stick to your knitting, do what you do well, look at the opportunities that exist, but also know that there's other people that, you know, might be able to take what you've done and make it bigger, better, stronger, faster. And that's great, because as long as we're, you know, creating shareholder value and impacting the market in a meaningful way, I'm happy.
Brian, what's the company's long play strategy with regards to acquisitions, branding, and any other important upcoming news?
The company's long play strategy, I think I touched on that in a number of my previous comments. You know, branding is a very large word, and you know, while Media Central is ostensibly a holding company for all of these great brands that we have under umbrella right now, It'll continue to be that way. We're not looking to go out there and acquire the publications and then call them, you know, Media Central. We want to make sure that we're leveraging the goodwill that exists at the local and the community level that's been so important to these publications as best as we can, and keep the holdings company off to the side and roll in the revenues and manage the synergies that exist between the papers, both from an SG&A standpoint and even from a brand equity standpoint. Aside from that, there's no real magic to what we're doing. We're just, you know, moving fast. We have an eye on digitization, an eye on monetization, and really just taking advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves. And whenever they don't present themselves, we'll create our own opportunities.
And finally, what can you tell our investor audience regarding the current valuation of your stock and, frankly, why it's a good buy right now?
You know, the problem is I'm probably less of a promoter than I should be at this point. But, you know, I will tell you that, you know, I'm confident that the price points are low relative to what the opportunity exists and presents itself. You know, investors can do their own math, but you know, if you look at, you know, the value of one reader, of one set of eyeballs across different planes, I think, you know, you'll recognize that, you know, just our 6.5 million readers alone represent a considerable bargain at this point relative to what we're going to do in the future from a monetization standpoint. And you can draw comparisons that exist out there right now, you know, with, you know, typical set of eyeballs, you know, depending on what market you're in North America or globally, you know, really ranging anywhere from, say, you know, a dollar to $50, you know, and a lot of that is a function of, you know, where they're placed, how they're monetized, and who's leveraging them. So, you know, if we do nothing more, and you turn around and you take a multiple of, say, you know, $5 or $6 per eyeball, you know, we should be, which is very reasonable given where we're moving to in terms of our digital transformation strategy. You know, there's no reason that without doing another deal, which we're clearly, you know, doing other deals, you know, we shouldn't be looking at anywhere from, you know, $25 to $30 million in top line. I mean, that's conceivable in terms of value.
Excellent. Well, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today, Brian. Much appreciated.
I appreciate it, as always, and hope you have a nice day. Wish everybody to stay safe and sound during this period, and we'll all get through it, and we'll all be better for it.
100%. We've been speaking with Brian Kalish, CEO of Media Central Corp. I'd like once again to thank Brian for joining us and sharing this informative and insightful news about Media Central with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.